AIC Stories Podcast presents.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time to dive beyond the stream once more. We have a very, very special episode going here. We're getting real close to the final here. It's coming down to the last couple episodes. I'm joined by my good friend Justin at Bear Maked, who you should go follow online, to discuss episode 7 of the Netflix original series Archive 81 here on the Beyond the Stream series. Just a quick reminder, if you want to keep up with everything going on with the AIC Stories podcast, head over to AICstories.com. You'll find all the links to everything you need right there. Let's get to it. Okay, we've done it. We are at episode 7. Only one more to go, and this is getting tough to not hit play. We've said it the whole time, but this one, especially knowing we've only got one more, the finale left after tonight, was really tough not to hit play at the end of this one.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Yeah. So episode 7, the very brief summary, it was titled The Ferryman. The summary just says the veil drops from a cursed film's origins. At the Voss mansion in 1924, Iris recruits Rose for a blood ritual, and Dan knows he must find Annabelle. So that's what we were left with. That's all we knew about it going into it. Let's jump right into this one because I'm curious to see what you thought on this. So what did you have as your number one?
Well, this one was fun, and my number one kind of ties into the whole 1924 scenes that we get. Like, it was cool to see that part of it.
Yeah.
Like, as instead of having someone like explain all that, we got to actually see it, so we didn't have to worry about just being talked to. Mm-hmm. But in seeing that, like, we've already met Melody and Dan. Melody's looking for her mom.
Yep.
Dan's trying to figure out what his dad was up to since mm-hmm. he lost him in a fire. And then we meet Iris, who is trying to reconnect with her dad.
Yeah.
Who also died. So, like, mm-hmm. we have these, like, three kind of players in this thing that are all trying to find some sort of connection to a parent that they lost.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I didn't even put that together. All I was thinking was, I'll talk about it in my next one, maybe, because it leads into my next thought. But that's a good pick. I didn't even put the connection together between, I think, I didn't even think about it with Dan and his dad. That all three of them were searching for a parent. I was thinking Melody and her mom primarily, and then Iris, you know, obviously looking for her connection there. And but mm-hmm. I didn't even put that together. That's smart.
Well, I think because Dan's a little bit different in that, like, I don't think he's doing what he's doing, or he didn't start doing what he's doing to find that connection with his dad.
Right.
But as soon as Davenport told him, you know, that he chose Dan for a reason. And then in that first episode, you see Dan's dad in that first tape. And he's like, wait, what? So then it kind of draws you in. And now all three of these people are like trying to connect with their parents. And it'll be interesting to see. We learn Melody's in the other place now. Spoiler alert.
Right.
We haven't talked about the end of the episode yet, but
right.
She's in that other world. And I'm curious to see if she found her mom there.
Yeah.
Or like what the deal is there, or if we get to see maybe a glimpse of that other world in that next episode.
Right. Well, that kind of leads into my number one, but it might turn into a little short detour discussion. So bear with me on this one. But
sure.
my number one thought was, we finally see who Annabelle has been painting, this woman that she doesn't know who it is in there. And it's Iris Voss. And I thought, okay, that's cool. My first thought, the note I made kind of real time as I'm watching is, is it possible that that is Melody's mother? And I'm trying to think of the timeline. I'm like, nah, that's not going to work because this was in the 20s. That's not right. So it's not that. And then we see kind of tied to that, there's one of those, was it the ball dung or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever witches. And we see that brunette woman come in and we find out she's trying to steal this thing. and stop it and a book or whatever. And I thought, oh, maybe this is Melody's mom. And I'm like, no, that math doesn't add up because the 20s to the 90s. No, that's not right.
Yeah.
But then it kind of clicked for me, like, okay, so her mom is one of these witches that was probably there trying to stop all of this. But I just thought it was cool. We finally got to see who Annabelle was painting in all these previous episodes. And it's Iris Voss trapped somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now does Iris get out of there? And is she replaced by Melody?
You're right.
When they do the, because obviously they do something to put Melody there. And that, like the ritual, does that end up, is that how Iris got in there?
And if it released her, why haven't we seen her? Unless, is it possible? Because who was it a Crest, the daughter in that, the seance with the ritual when Beatrice claws her eyes out?
Yeah, Eve Crest.
Yeah, and I can't remember how the Crest people are tied into the Voss stuff. The Crest people, the dad saw that snuff film that the Voss has made. Okay, so now that's there. So
yeah, and then he went on the hunt to find all the the Voss stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, if Melody goes in, I wonder, that's interesting. I didn't put that connection together. Like, if one goes in, does the other get released somewhere? And at that point, where is she? You know, if Iris is walking around now that Melody's been released, I wonder why we haven't seen her. What if that ends up being the woman in the red coat? But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, though, because the woman in the red coat seems to be warning Danny to just stay away. You know, finish the job and get out of there. And he's done that, but he just won't leave it alone now, obviously. But interesting. So what do you have for your number two?
So I got quite a few notes. I'm just going to see if I can choose which one I want to talk about here. Well, I think it's a smaller point, but like, since we're back in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
For part of this episode, and like, we're seeing the ritual and stuff, when the like the jazz band was playing the like the creepy song, I just made a note that the jazz version of the creepy song is badass AF. I enjoyed that rendition of that song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounded so much cooler than the opera version or anything else they've been doing.
Right. I kind of would love to, it's probably out on Spotify, but I'd love to see if they have a soundtrack of all the music used in this show, because some of it's pretty unsettling, but there's a lot of it that, even though it's kind of darker toned, would be just perfect ambient, like working on other stuff, you know, background kind of music while you're just doing other stuff. And it's,
I mean, that's the other stuff you're doing is summoning demons. Yeah.
Well,
hey man, you do you, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah. No, I, you know, I love that kind of dark, ambient atmospheric type of music. And, you know, some of that stuff, to be able to hear like the full version of the jazz version of that song. They also had that same tune. If I recall, it was the same tune show up in that music box that Iris had. That the medallion is in that she gives to Rose.
Oh yeah. And that's another thing that I noted is, so when she's interviewing Rose, or I don't know if it's interview, it seemed like she already had a job, but when they're having that first conversation, she gives her the music box and like has her listen to it and watches her intently. So I'm wondering if she wasn't watching to see if she would have a reaction like we see Melody have.
Right.
Which, if that's some sort of sign.
Interestingly, she didn't really have a reaction to it. I mean, she was kind of like, ooh, this is, you know, this music box is pretty, and kind of like seemed unsure of what was going on. But she definitely didn't have the Melody type reaction where she was like doubled over.
Right. And I'm wondering if that's a reaction that like the ball dung have.
Oh, yeah, that could be
like
that.
If it's
that,
just the witches that react like that to the evil music?
That could be. Although that brings an interesting question, then I guess we'll have to wait till next episode. Maybe it won't even be answered, but brings an interesting question then. If they're looking for people who aren't reacting to it, I guess that's to be the sacrifice, because they want to make sure if they're reacting, maybe the ceremony doesn't work or something. But then how did they get Melody to this place? But anyways, yeah, that's...
Yeah, to me, it, and this might be going far on the second point, we've detoured a little bit, but to me, it seems like they need a sacrifice, but then they also need the blood from the witches.
Right.
Because that's they shoot that one witch when she's there to steal that book.
Yeah.
And then they're like, quick, get her in the tub and drain her. And it's like, right. Oh, that's okay. That's creepy.
Yeah.
But then, like, you see them pour the blood on the statue later. It's like, oh, that's probably why they need the blood. Like, did you have to drain all of her blood for that one cup?
Right.
But, you know.
And if you did, if you thought you drained all of her blood and that's all you got, you didn't do a good job, because I'm pretty sure the human body has more than that. I thought that was, and this is a very minor point, so I won't call it my number two, but when they're pouring that blood over that statue, I thought it was a pretty cool effect how the blood was actually, it would flow down like it's dripping, but it also hit those grooves and was going up and outward. It was kind of a neat scene, you know, how it just kind of sucked it into every groove.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. Boy, my number two.
Oh, I was going to say something else about the blood.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Before I forget.
No, that's good.
It just earlier on, and I forget which episode it was, we see the fridge full of blood.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's in the tapes from, what's his name? The other guy that was
Thomas, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Bellows. I wonder if that's all like ball dung blood that he's, that Davenport's harvested.
That could be. Yeah, that would make sense.
I don't know why else there'd be a fridge full of blood. But since we were already talking about the blood, I thought, since I noted that I would bring it up.
No, that makes total sense. I'm going to save this one as kind of a... I'm going to go for this one. And then we might have a similar one for our third one. But that whole scene, the sacrifice of Rose, the throat slitting, the setup on it, when she finally just incredibly coldly reaches over and, you know, Rose doesn't even know what's hitting her and boom, slices her throat and she drops. And then suddenly Iris is, you know, in the middle of this big sparkly looking, you know, whatever it was, and just boom, gets sucked into the other world. And that whole scene was probably, well, definitely up to that point, that was the most intense scene of this episode for me. The ending, of course, we get a bit of a cliffhanger, which would have been my number three, depending on what you have. But that was one of those scenes where it was really, really cool. And I thought that the only problem I had with it is that Mark and Dan are watching this scene and the film cuts out. I mean, you see kind of a glimpse of that footage. That's such grainy, you know, difficult footage to see what's happening, that I wonder if they even could get the full impact of what happened, or if they even saw that she actually vanished, because the film seems to go kind of screen goes to white and boom, film's over.
Yeah. I think we're left with the impression that she vanished because like we know she's in the paintings and she needed to be let out. Right. But yeah, I don't know like what you see of the film, like you said, it like cuts off before you can see that she's not there anymore.
Right.
So yeah, do they make that assumption that she's got sucked up into another world, or or like what happens to everybody else?
Yeah.
Like I'm hoping something they'll answer for sure in the next episode. So like it looks like the ritual was a success.
Right.
Like something happened.
Right.
Did that result in the building being burnt down, or does something else cause that fire?
Exactly. And the question there is, if all those people in that room think, oh, it was a success, but wait, we're not getting all the stuff we wanted. But it wasn't about them. It was about Iris getting her wish, really, is what she was after. And so I don't know if they would even know if it was a success or not. They'd just know she disappeared. But I wonder at what point they realize, like, oh, wait, we, you know, fast forward to Samuel's time and was it Virgil? Yeah, Virgil's time. And, oh, geez, we better try and recreate this because something went wrong. You know, at what point do they know that? That's...
Yeah.
That's a bit of a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
If the ritual burns the Voss Mansion down...
Uh-huh.
And if we're thinking ahead and we think a ritual that they did to Melody burns down the Visser apartment building...
Right.
It was... Dan's dad doing a ritual? Is that how his house burned down? Like, or is that a separate thing?
Right.
Like, so many fire-related questions.
Right. given that line of thinking, it all makes sense except for how Dan's family died and then their house burned down. And also a little bit, like, it's kind of been nagging at me a little bit, and I keep forgetting to talk about it. I hope it gets answered, or maybe I missed it. I don't know. Why wasn't Dan in the house when the whole thing burned down? Where his sister and dad were in there, why wasn't he in there? Did they ever
address that? Oh, yeah, they show that in one of the early episodes. He was out walking a dog.
Oh, that's right. He was with his dog.
Yeah, the dad tells him to stop playing the song.
That's right.
On the piano, and then I think he tells him that the dog needs to be walked. So he goes and walks the dog.
That's right.
Now that I'm thinking about that, the one thing I thought, like, he leaves and it's like bright daylight. And when he comes back, it's like nighttime, dark, with the house on fire. It's like, how long of a walk were you on with this dog? And why were your parents worried?
Yeah, he was, what, maybe 7 to 10 years old at that? Yeah. I don't know, something like that. Yeah, what did he do? Go walk to the next town over and back or what?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that line of thinking with the fires, though, now has me wondering just how his dad was connected, because everything else you said makes total sense. Like, okay, if it was the ritual itself that caused this fire, yada, yada. But it doesn't make sense for Dan's house unless... But even the timing on that, you know, like you said, he seemed to be gone a long time walking that dog. But what did his dad do? Yell at the kids to stop playing that music and then run down to his own basement or wherever and hurry up and try and do this ritual, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine a dad, you know, that... Like, my age, I've got two young kids, and I imagine myself like, ugh, you kids quiet down up there. I'm trying to work. And then running down, trying to get in a little recording real fast or, you know, whatever it is, and, like, being half annoyed and, you know, botching a ritual or something. That's crazy. I don't know. What did you have for your number three?
So I'm going to go with, so we see, and I wasn't sure, when we're looking at Iris back in the past,
yep.
And she's interviewing Rose.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it looked like she might be, like, early pregnancy. But then when she's talking to Rose, like, she says something about, you know, she would like a baby eventually.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe she's not pregnant. But then we see later on, it looks like she has miscarried.
Right.
And then Rose, and, like, trying to clean it up, like, that's when we see the mold.
Right.
Like, growing on the tiles. And she said she found it in the basement. And it's all this.
Yeah.
So, like... I know, just from what we know of Iris, I don't think she did anything to cause her to lose a baby.
Right.
That's what she's after. Like, she wants to see her dad and she wants a baby.
Yep.
So, like, the mold didn't start until after that happened, it seems like.
Right.
So is it possible that, like, Kalego, or I don't know if I'm saying that right. I still can't nail down the pronunciation of that demon. Is that, like, a sacrifice he took? You know, from her to just, like, make sure she was still devoted or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, yeah, that's when it seems like the mold first shows up, and that's the first Iris seems to have noticed, you know. She doesn't see it before that. And, oh, it's a sign. She says, look how beautiful it is. That's interesting. Yeah. Basically, that was the sacrifice needed. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just thought that I had, like, that.
It's a good thought, because I thought that whole pregnancy line, other than being that's what she was wishing for, and to make, you know, to me on the surface, I looked at it like, oh, they're trying to make her look like she's driven by just wanting a family or whatever. And I kind of guess for myself, I kind of just glazed over it at that point. I didn't think too deeply into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now that you say that, that's interesting, because the demon for the other ritual needs a blood sacrifice, and that would be a way to do it, I guess, you know, taking that and
choose your sacrifice and stuff.
Cause, right.
Like, it seems like when they're sacrificing Rose, they're saying, like, here, we're going to sacrifice this body so you can have this body.
Right. You're going to be in this vessel.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, that's not necessary, because he already took a vessel. Mm. And I don't think it's what he's going to inhibit, because, like, that body's no good to him anymore, whether it's Rose or the unborn baby.
When you think of that line of thinking, too, because it's mentioned in this episode, it's mentioned with Jess, it's mentioned with other people in the past, they do talk about the idea of, oh, you're strong enough to hold a whole new world inside of you. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you really think about it, you could easily make a case that that's pregnancy. You know, this being isn't going to necessarily inhabit the corpse of this person they just killed. it's going to show up in the form of a baby maybe or something like that. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, we've definitely seen horror stories in the past take that form where, you know, the demon comes in as a child or whatever and grows and no one knows it. But a lot of questions in this one.
Yeah, I feel like we got some answers, but we still, every episode that answers questions raises at least that many answers raises that many questions.
Right. I think what I'm going to do, I've got one more thought I wanted to bounce off you out there because it's something that really nagged at me since it happened. And then we'll talk about that ending separately, just as kind of a bonus, you know, 3A or whatever for us. But my question I had is Danny gets home. He finds himself, you know, he wakes up there, whatever else, finds after talking to Virgil and Virgil threatening him and all of that stuff, gets home and finds his apartment open, apparently broken into, and finds someone rooting through his stuff in his closet, doesn't know what's going on, only to see, oh, it's Mark. And Mark seems a little startled. And then he goes back in and said, oh, you know, he kind of brushed it off like, I was looking for you, and, you know, I'm so glad you're okay. And, you know, Danny asks him, what are you doing here? And he says, he leans in the closet and pulls out this old video player. Mm-hmm. Well, not video player, reel-to-reel film yeah. machine. And to me, there was something about that scene. I kept thinking back to when Virgil met with Mark in his podcast studio, or what, not the studio, but that, you know, where they were doing the live show and all that stuff, and was kind of threatening him and, you know, letting him know that he knew that Mark had been in contact with Dan and all that stuff. And there was a part of me that wondered, is that what Mark was really doing there, or was he looking for something else? And basically, is he somehow working for Davenport? You know, maybe he has been convinced that, you know, Dan's suffering a mental break, and to help him, I need you to go get this thing or whatever. And then when Dan shows up, he's like, oh, no, I got to show you this thing. And he decides, you know, he's going to show him all that stuff he found with the photos and, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That was something, there's just something about that nagged at me, that it didn't seem like that film projector is what Mark was actually there for. I don't know.
To be honest, I totally forgot that whole thing with Mark and Davenport happened.
Yeah.
So now that you say that, that makes sense. Cause I got the same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? It seems like weird that Mark would be in there rooting through his stuff.
Right.
So, but I was like, well, maybe it's just, you know, Mark's mm-hmm. kind of a weird dude. He has a weird podcast.
Right.
So yeah, that's just what he, that's how he rolls.
Right.
But yeah, now that you bring that up, yeah. I could absolutely see, because in that episode with Mark and Davenport, that interaction, yep. we see Mark gives that like meaningful look at Davenport's card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're led to believe that he probably called him.
Yeah.
Or did they show that to lead us to believe that?
Right.
But he never actually did, so he's still fine.
Yeah. Is this just a swerve kind of a thing? Yeah. It. I think the thing that set it off for me the most was just how it felt. Like when he went back in and was like, oh, I was looking for this. It was like, oh, this is the first thing I saw. Let me just grab it and say, oh, I was looking for this, you know, and then mm-hmm. thinking on his feet real quick, like, oh, I've got to show you something. Come with me, you know, or whatever. And,
well, I think. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and at that point, he, you know, actually Danny gave him a little time because he pulled that memory card out and stuff and was like, you got to see this or whatever. And mm-hmm. and then Mark was like, I got something to show you too, you know? And
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, something there weird.
I think either way, Mark was there for that projector.
Yeah.
Because he needed something to watch that film.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So either way, he was probably there for that. But yeah, I think you could be onto something that's not what he wasn't done looking for what he was looking for.
Right.
But he was like, oh, projector, let's just use that to get out of this situation.
Right.
He probably already had that handy. He was going to take that and whatever else he found.
Right. Well, yeah, because really at that point, why wouldn't you just stood up and, you know, when Dan startled him, oh, I just found it. It's right here, you know, and just been holding it already. Because when he reached back for it, it seemed to be right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Something was weird about that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's you did your three, right? I didn't mess up our order here.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
And
I know I did three. Yeah. Okay. And so let's talk about that big reveal, another masterful cliffhanger ending in this series. If nothing else, I will say this. Archive 81, the writers behind this and the crew behind it, I don't know that I've watched a series that has such perfect endings on each episode that, I mean, it just sucks you in and begs for you to hit play on that next one. Like, they've figured that formula out, I think. But let's talk about the ending here. We meet Annabelle, older lady Annabelle. Not ancient. I mean, I shouldn't say that. She's probably not much older than me, really. But Annabelle has aged, has still been painting. And, oh, crap, we find out she's been waiting for Dan. Oh, wait. Melody's waiting. And now Annabelle's been painting Melody in this other place. And Melody is waiting for Dan to come save her. What?
Yeah, like, and I think they could have done a better job making Annabelle look older,
because
it looked like they just put a wig on her and said that's good enough,
right?
But yeah, I mean, we get the. So I thought for sure that there was going to be something else going on there, because I paused, and I won't really skip to the prediction part, because
this
was an episode prediction that did not come true at all.
Okay.
But so Dan and Mark get to the door where Annabelle is, and like it seems like they're waiting, like building suspense before we can, like, before we re-meet Annabelle now in this new timeline. So I paused it, and because I had this thought in my head, so I paused it and I came to my notepad. And I typed out, oh shit, is Annabelle the groundskeeper lady?
Oh.
Because I thought maybe they were going to open that door and that's who we were going to see.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And then I immediately typed, nope, never mind, because that was not at all, not at all correct.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has notes like that.
Okay.
This whole series, I'll make questions. Ooh, is something here? Like even earlier this episode, I was talking about, oh, she was painting Iris Voss. Oh, could that be Melody's mom? And then next note is, nope, never mind. That timeline doesn't work. You know, I'm thinking out loud. So, yeah, I do that a lot, too. Yeah, they did build that up. And dang it. Yeah, that's right. We still don't know who that woman is. That groundskeeper lady.
I'm just hoping it's another question we get answered to the next one.
But, yeah.
I'm curious. Like, I know in the tapes we see Melody and Annabelle talk about Dan, and I think we talked about this, but I don't know if she ever named him to her, like if she would know Dan is who she was talking about.
Yeah.
And would she, like, I think something else had to have been going on with Annabelle.
Yeah.
That she's still, like, Dan is still so fresh in her mind.
Right. And the other question, just thinking of this now with Annabelle, in the present day with Dan, she's still painting. She's still essentially communicating. What do they call it? A spirit talker?
Spirit receiver.
Yeah. And she's still painting. Does that mean she still has paint with that mold in it? Or is this just regular like ink or paint or something? Because if the vis are burned, you'd assume there's no more mold anywhere. Of course, it's all over in that compound.
Yeah.
So maybe she's able to find it, but I wonder if it was the mold that allowed her to tap into that, or if it was once she was exposed to it, now she's open to it and she's able to do it. Because she definitely didn't seem as, what's the word? Like, I don't know. I hate to say this. Yeah, crazy. Or I was going to say cracked out. Like she was when she was painting with the mold paint, like she was ultra obsessed and just crazy. So
yeah.
Interesting.
So, I forgot what I was gonna say now. I'm curious to see how, because she says Dan has to like go get Melody and bring her back. Like I'm pretty sure we're gonna see how that works, and I'm curious to see it, because like, does he have to do some ritual?
Right.
Like, to get there?
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to play. It's something. This finale, that's why we both said going into it, we can't wait to hit play, because it has a ton of questions around it. So, real quick, I guess, before we get out of here, any predictions you have that you want to lay out there right now?
I don't even know. Like, there's so many loose threads yet.
Right.
Like, it's hard to say, like, pick one and try to guess what the right. answer is going to be.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. I'm hoping we get answers on the groundskeeper, and then, of course, obviously the main story on how Dan is going to get there, and just what is he going to find if he goes to wherever this is to get Melody? What is this place? That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's about all I had. How about a favorite moment for you?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. but I enjoyed, like, pretty much the entire flashback section.
Yeah.
Like, I think just because, like, it would have been easy for them to try to use the existing characters to explain it.
Right.
Like, to have, like, Samuel and Melody have a conversation about
right.
it.
Right.
Like, it would have been easy for them to just script that and, you know, there, that now, boom, it's been explained.
Right.
But I feel like this was a much more rewarding way to see it. Like, see right. it through so we get all the details and things that, like, Samuel and Melody, well, Melody mm-hmm. wouldn't know anything, so really just be Samuel talking to right. Melody and us watching him talk to her.
Right. A lecture. To see,
yeah. yeah. So, and so this way we got to see from kind of Iris's point of view what happened, and her one brother backing out at the last minute and be like, oh, you know, never mind, this is kind of crazy. Like,
yep.
you're about to murder all these people.
Right.
So, which I guess I don't understand how they all, like, that's why is the fire has to be part of the ritual, right? That's how he knows everybody's yeah, gonna die.
It's gotta, like, be, unless someone's starting it to try and stop it. Maybe the Baldung Witches infiltrate and burn it down to try and end it. That maybe
yeah,
maybe there's that too.
Or and, that brother maybe does, like, because yeah. he's like, maybe I can stop it in time if I just burn the whole right. place down.
That could be,
which seems a weird solution if you're worried about Iris safety. Killing everyone, and then right. you burn it down, like, kill everyone.
So, right. But, I know what I'll do. I'll save everybody, but I'll kill them myself. Right. Well, I had one tiny eye roll. It's a camera nerd thing, but when they're back in the 20s and he's taking the spirit photos and he's cranking away at Iris with this old 8x10 view camera, click, 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 click. I couldn't help but roll my eyes, because it's like, you realize that you got one photo, then it's a process to change to the next sheet of film, reload the flash, because it's not like an electronic flash. Oh, like, yeah. yeah, I mean, these are flash yep. bulbs, everything else. So I was kind of like, okay, that's a little fake-aloo there, but whatever. It worked for the scene. And then my favorite moment of this episode, though, I think, was that ending, Dan meeting Annabelle. And my note I had, it said this was the ultimate cliffhanger for the episode leading into the finale, the penultimate episode. Mm-hmm. For an otherwise, this episode to me was kind of an otherwise, like, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't my favorite of the series. You know, it was kind of one of those ones that felt like, all right, let's fill in some blanks, answer some questions, but by and large, let's just take a deep breath and get ready for the mayhem in the final episode. So,
yep. Yep. And I think that's probably why they did it that way.
Yeah.
So, because, like, you need just to coast a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, I'm hoping the next episode is just going to be, like, intense, like the
mayhem,
like the yeah. snippets of the, like the seance scene, and like the end of the right. previous episode with Dan smashing everything and then ended up yeah. down out of the ritual room. Like,
well, and
from
next
wire
episode,
to wire.
Right. Just as they would say, balls out the whole time.
Yep.
So next episode is episode 8. It's the finale of Archive 81. We'll be talking about that real soon. The episode is called What Lies Beneath. And all it says is in the description is the other world beckons. Melody circles back to the Visser, where a new device captures a sacrifice. Much depends on Dan's journey into the unknown. There is a lot. I mean, it has to be setting up to be, like we said, just intense and chaotic and mayhem. Because what else? It would be the only fitting ending for this first season, I think. So yeah. I'm going to go check it out. What do you have? Closing thought?
Kind of. I just wanted to mention, because yeah. I thought of it during the episode.
Yeah.
And I felt like I should probably bring it up, because you probably maybe thought of it too. But mm-hmm. they were taking those demon photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
taking pictures, setting up where people could come and get their picture taken and maybe see
right.
a ghost or something. And maybe think of that faded word story from however long ago. Yeah. I was like, oh, hey, this is like, it works. Now all the podcasts are tied together.
That's right. I forgot. I didn't even think of it. All I could think is when they captured the photo of that one spirit over Iris's shoulder, for some reason, the way the face looked reminded me of the Mandalorian. I don't know why. It just did. I know it was supposed to be that demon, but I thought, oh, that's the Mando mask.
So now they're launching a different franchise.
Right.
That's why season two got canceled, because they have to now find a way to build the Mandalorian and Arcadian one together.
Right. And I don't know if Pedro Pascal's available. He's been pretty busy lately. So
yeah.
Well, I'm going to go hit play on episode 8 here, and I can't wait anymore. And then we're gonna be back. Next episode will be the finale discussion, and we'll probably give you a few thoughts on the series as a whole. So next episode might be a little bit longer. Probably nothing too crazy, though. So we'll get to that, and we'll see you guys then.
Later.